Testing. What's up, D&D Universe? Diapers and dog houses. This is not a regular episode. This is a conversation episode. Last season, I had a conversation with a police officer. This year, we're having a conversation with a dietitian who I confused with a nutritionist. They are not the same. I learned that today. She was a great interview, great conversation. Danya Arnold out of Arkansas. You will enjoy her. I think she should start her own podcast. That's just me though. Maybe she'll sign to our network. Gov and YBA are not here because I'm a Falcon season ticket holder, and that throws a monkey wrench into our recording schedule. But as we iron that out, here is a mini episode. Not a mini episode. This is going to be a great episode. You're going to enjoy the conversation. But it's not our normal format. It's like the little specialty episodes, I should call it. Like a premium. Like HBO. Shout out to everybody that's listening. We're going to get our audio correct. Got a lot of feedback about the audio on previous episodes. Specifically, Gov and YBA's volume not being high and mine being high. I must tell you that I'm not the Beyonce of the crew. I don't want all the limelight. I want everybody to be equal. I want all the audio to be equal. But once we record it, it's hard to fix it after the fact. Pre-production is key. I'm learning that. I am not an audio engineer. I really suck at this. But until I can afford a real person, this is what we shall contest with. But I will make sure that everybody will be heard clearly in future episodes, and I hope you enjoy this conversation with me and Miss Danya. And thanks to Felicia, one of my homegirls from college, that hooked this up. Thanks to everybody for supporting, listening, and I hope we'll talk to y'all soon. Peace. It's Fat Drink, one third of the greatest podcast on earth, Diapers and Doghouses. The first podcast I ever listened to was Dissect. I binged as Cole Kushner broke down Kendrick Lamar's album To Pimp a Butterfly, and I've been hooked on podcasts ever since, from Serial to My American Life to Drink Champs. There's a podcast for every subject you can think of, so it can be a bit overwhelming to get started. Let me introduce you to Good Pods. You download the app, and you find your friends through your contacts or social media, and you can see what they're listening to. It's like Facebook for podcasts. It'll give you something to talk about at the water cooler or that boring dinner party. No one listens to the radio anymore, so do yourself a favor. Download the Good Pods app in the App Store or Google Play, and oh yeah, follow Diapers and Doghouses.
Good Pods, baby.
Hey guys, this is Dreek. My nickname is the host that weighs the most. I'm here with Danya Arnold. Say hello to the people out here, Danya.
Good morning, everyone.
I met Danya through... Do you know Felicia, or she just saw you on Facebook and recommended you?
I do know her, yes.
I need to know how y'all know each other.
Well, our daughters were in dance together a few years ago.
Okay.
And we were both not really dance moms. But we kind of connected over that, and we've just stayed really good friends ever since.
That's awesome. Yeah. I went to college with Felicia, and my wife and her were real close friends, and they stayed pretty close. Felicia is a family friend, I will say, for sure. So talk to me about the nutritionist life. What drove you to becoming a nutritionist?
Well, I cannot even remember why I went into this field, to be honest.
When did you know? Was it like later on? Was it when you're younger?
Well, I am there, and there's a difference between a nutritionist and a dietitian.
Okay.
I'll kind of explain that first. Nutritionist is really a term that anyone can use. So like, say you go out and you take a course for like an hour, you could call yourself a nutritionist.
Gotcha.
A dietitian is the one that has gone through college, gotten a degree, gone through a 1200 hour internship, passed the national board exam.
Gotcha.
So I went into this field right out of high school.
Okay.
And I was just interested in, you know, just, I didn't come from a background of focusing on healthy eating or anything necessarily. Mm-hmm. It was just interesting to me. So I have been a dietitian now for 16 years.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So ever since I graduated from my graduate program.
Go ahead.
And I have mostly, dietitians work in a lot of different settings. So a lot of them are in hospitals. Mm-hmm. I have mostly been out in, well, my whole career have been out in a community setting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. And you're in Arkansas.
Yes.
Are you close to Mena, Arkansas? Have you heard of Mena, Arkansas?
I have heard of Mena. I am probably a couple hours away from Mena. Okay. So the company that I work for now, we actually partner with school districts in Arkansas, and we go in and kind of revamp their food service program. So
that's awesome.
We have chefs on board, and we have a couple dietitians, and we just like remake their menus, show them how to cook recipes, you know, try to get the kids involved. We teach a lot of like culinary education, nutrition education. But one of our partner districts at one time, it was before COVID, it's not Mena, but it was right around Mena.
Gotcha. I asked about Mena. I got a good friend that I went to college with, same college me and Felicia went to. She's from Mena, so I always try to relate people to Mena. That's the only place I know in Mena. In Arkansas is Mena.
I am actually right outside of Little Rock, so probably like 15 minutes out.
Oh, yeah, I know Little Rock. I'm being stupid. Yeah. I know Little Rock, Arkansas. That's pretty popular. Where's your football team at? What city? Is that Little Rock? The college team?
The Hogs, the Razorbacks?
Mm-hmm.
That's Fayetteville. So that is Northwest Arkansas, probably about 3.5 hours from us.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm learning. I'm not good with geography. So
no, you're fine.
You gotta bear with me. So you said you're going into schools and doing the revamp and stuff. Like what would you say the big difference is between from when you were in school, I was in school, to what they're serving now?
Regulations. You know, when we were in school, we could have grandma's fried chicken and, you know, mashed potatoes. I remember my favorite day was Crispito Day. But now we have so many regulations, and we have to keep their meals under a certain sodium level, certain calorie level. It can't be too low, but it can't be too high.
That's good.
And we have to have whole grain items. It's a lot healthier for them. But at the same time, you also have to kind of like meet a kid where they're at. So you have to offer foods that they're used to seeing alongside foods that you kind of want to introduce to them. So it's a lot stricter now than it used to be. So you kind of have to get creative with it. And there's a lot of just like federal regulations that are a lot harder than they used to be.
I was going to ask, is that a national thing or is that just an Arkansas thing?
Yes, that's a national thing. So
okay.
Pretty much. And a lot of that came about. It's been in place for a few years, and Michelle Obama kind of pushed it forward a little bit with her initiatives. Mm. And it's interesting because it kind of changes. Our regulations really change with who is in the presidency. So if it is a Democrat, it kind of moves forward as far as like stricter regulations. Mm-hmm. And as a Republican, sometimes they'll pull back on those. So it's just really interesting. It actually goes pretty far with the political side.
Yeah, it's more Democrats are more like government control, and Republicans are like, let me back off, let the state handle their own thing. So that's what everything.
Yeah.
So I see, I looked at your Facebook page. I didn't stalk you, but I did see you got a family. So talk to me about your husband. You got two boys. How many kids you got?
Yes, I have three kids. So my husband and I, we've been married, 16 years also.
Awesome.
And we have a daughter that's 13.
Okay.
And we have twin boys that are 10.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
So how is it with your kids at home? Is it, are you, I wouldn't say strict, but are you mindful, super mindful of what they're eating? Or is it just, you got a teenager, so I can imagine. Mm-hmm. Are you getting any pushback, or do you just start them at a young age where, this is what it is?
Well, so as a dietitian, I am very big on, I do not want to project on my children that certain foods are bad foods.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to think that, oh, I can't have that because it will, make me overweight. Or So I really don't police super hard on my kids. I try to let them determine. And there are certain times when you've got to let a kid eat so much sugar they get sick, because they have to know that this is how I feel whenever I don't eat foods that are more nutrition and value.
Yeah.
So there have been times though where I remember when my daughter a few years ago, she was like, I just wish you weren't a dietitian. but I just try to emphasize, and this is true with everything and kind of some of when we talk about, because you had mentioned healthy swaps, I'm really big at trying to add things in instead of taking them out.
Yeah.
Like with my kids, if I can get my picky boys to eat mac and cheese, but I can serve alongside that some green vegetable, that's a win for me. So yeah.
I suck. I'll be totally honest. My sons, I got a 10-year-old and a 3-year-old. And it seems like I read something or saw something somewhere. It was don't introduce them to sweet stuff early, because once they get it, it's going to be hard to kick it from them. Like even fruits, that's like instead of cookies, here's a banana. And they'll kind of agree with that. My 10-year-old, he's a lost cause at this point. I got to do a total revamp because he wants a fudge round every day. He wants chips. He don't even really like meat. He's not we'll go to a Waffle House or something, and he'll get, I just want a waffle, get some bacon or something with it. No, I just want the waffle. No, you're going to eat the bacon. So I got to do some hypnotizing or something with him to get him back on track. He likes corn on the cob and stuff. I try to meet them where they are, but I gotta put my foot down more, because me, I'm been on the weight loss journey my whole life. It feels like I've been doing more keto stuff lately, and I'll talk to you about that later. Just swapping stuff out. Instead of eating rice, I'll eat cauliflower rice. I made cauliflower pizza one time. I made the crust out of cauliflower, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I got an eggplant lasagna that I made before. My kid, they'll kind of dabble in that, but I just got to do a complete, I don't know how I'm going to do it, because they're like, they just won't eat. If I give them something, I'm just not going to eat it. All right, you're just going to starve then. If you want to eat, you got to eat something. So.
So let's just kind of unpack that a little bit.
Okay.
There is, and you have to be careful when you read things about nutrition on the internet, because everybody has an opinion, but a lot of it is not research-based, science-based. But even when you talk about introducing sweets to kids, so naturally, and not all babies are breastfed, but breast milk is naturally very, very sweet.
Mm.
So you're already, it's that concept. Obviously you don't want to give them a fudge round when they're 8 months old,
Kool-Aid in the bottle.
Yes. But you do fruits are great and have an amazing nutrition content value. Mm-hmm. And those, so that would be a great snack to give. So don't, I think lately too, a lot of people have been demonizing fruits for extra sugar, but that mm-hmm. is a natural fruit and the benefits definitely are amazing for our body. So I think you're doing a great job with that. And 10-year-olds, a lot of times are just picky. Yeah. And sometimes it's just a phase. Mm-hmm. I would say just continue. I think with kids, you have to introduce things. I think the last research was like 15 to 18 times, just constant introduction before they'll even try it. I would say, you know, alongside a waffle, trying different meats, trying a little bit of sausage. Hey, can you just try this? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are times when my boys, absolutely not. But if they are exposed to it enough, mm-hmm. they might take a bite and they'll be like, oh, it's not so bad.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he does like some stuff like collard greens he'll eat. Like, I mean, he's not like a total like carb-loaded meals. But, you know, like you said, you got to find that right balance and find what he actually likes.
Yeah, for sure. And it is a balance. I mean, food is meant to, of course, the main purpose is to fuel our bodies and keep us healthy, but it's also in celebration and there's a lot of culture in the foods that we eat. So mm-hmm. even when you talk about swapping out things like rice with cauliflower, if you like that and that's and you don't mind the taste and it's good for you, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I also would caution people to thinking that that's the only way to lose weight, you know, especially if that is a staple in your diet culturally.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I think a lot of times, and I hate using this term, but sometimes I feel like it's whitewashed in a way,
mm-hmm.
How we look at a healthy diet in America.
And
some people will say, oh, well, you have to eat this way, but that's not going to work for people that have a certain cultural background.
Gotcha.
Or for people that, you know, don't have a fridge that works. So what I would say to you is if those options are ones that you enjoy and they're lower in calorie and fat content, then that would be a great swap. If you hate it, you're going to be miserable and you're not going to continue that for your life. You know what I'm saying?
That's lifestyle change for sure. It's like not a diet, but a lifestyle change is what I always hear. So
just long term, how you can still enjoy the foods that you love.
Yeah.
And that's going to be, it's all dependent on your caloric intake. So mm-hmm. there are certain times when other parts of like hormones, et cetera, come into play. But for most people, you just have to eat in a calorie deficit. Now, mm-hmm. how you do that, you might like the lower carb type stuff, like the keto type mentality or the intermittent fasting type mentality.
Mm-hmm.
If that works for you and you're happy and you're not starving, then that's fine, you know? As long as you are in a calorie deficit, that's going to lead to weight loss. You can also do that by adding in exercise too, which the majority of us do not get what is recommended exercise wise.
Correct. That's the thing about him. He eats crappy, but he's super active. He's super skinny. My wife, thankfully, she's small. She got great metabolism and hopefully he carries that with her because he don't need to get my metabolism at all.
Well, and as he gets older too, what I try to stress to my daughter, because she's an athlete, is, and she's really good at being open to all different kinds of foods. But as they get older and they're in sports, et cetera, they will be more mindful of the things that make them feel better in practice and, you know, help them. My neighbor has a son who's an excellent runner and he is just naturally very thin because he runs all the time, but he tries to add in things into his diet that will add weight to him, but also aren't going to kind of like make him feel sluggish. As kids get older too, like you'll see that change in him if he becomes serious in some kind of sport, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is mindful about his body. He has a phone, which I know people, you know, there's a debate, like should a 10-year-old have a phone, but mine has a phone and I look at his phone and I see apps on his phone about abs and like, doing sit-ups and push-ups every day. Like, uh-oh, here we go. Got a little Vin Diesel over here. So,
well, and starts early. Like what we project as healthy in our country, it starts really early. And we have to be mindful of that because, like, abs don't necessarily mean health.
That's what I told them. Like, dude, don't, you're too young to be worrying about this right now. Just worry about your grades. We'll get the abs
later. For sure. Well, they could be like hyper fixated on lower body fat and be eating just stuff that is barely enough to sustain them. And they might have really low energy.
Yeah.
For adult males having abs, a lot of times if they're really lower in body fat, and women too, that could be like a lower libido, things like that, you know? So it's a lot. And I think that in the deep part of our mind, we know the basics of eating healthy. It's just all the stuff that we read that people will put out there that confuse us. Like, oh, well, maybe I should be doing that. Deep down, you know, you have always been taught fruits and vegetables are excellent for you. Higher fiber items are excellent for you. You know, whole grains over refined grains.
I've read so much about diets. I'm like, I'm the guy gotta go to. I'm huge, but you ask me diet stuff, I know all about it. Practicing is a lot harder than reading it. So
That's just find something that works for you too. Like if you've been on a bunch of different diets and you still don't feel that you are where you want to be, you just haven't found the one that's going to work for you long term. And that's where a lot of us are. And sometimes it takes a while to get there.
I think the exercise you mentioned before, I think that's the key thing for me, because I work an office job, so I'm sitting on my butt most of the day. So me finding the time to get the activity in, because I'm really only eating, I only eat really once a day sometimes. Like when I work from home, I might eat like a breakfast. Like today I'm having like a Greek yogurt with some, I got this keto granola and some blackberries. Like that's my breakfast. Might do a salad for lunch. And, you know, my wife's a nurse, so she's super healthy. So the dinner's usually, meat and a couple of vegetables, maybe a starch. But I think the activity, in my case, for sure, needs to be ramped up more. I joined this martial arts fitness class that I do every Saturday now. So,
Nice. Yeah. That's like really great activity.
Oh, tell me, I'm hurting in all the places.
I bet you are. And also, like, just to throw this out there, don't underestimate the importance of just walking. And people say, like, the goal has always been 10,000. Really, the research shows that around 8,000 steps is great for everyone. You don't necessarily have to hit 10,000, but if you can get up 7,000 to 8,000 steps a day, that could do wonders in your overall just health, as well as your mental well-being. So a lot of that also plays a part in it. But I also work from home. My job now is a lot more sedentary than it used to be. And so I'll make an effort. I might be on a phone call. I'll go outside and just walk circles for a little while, just try to get those steps in.
My wife got me this Fitbit, and every hour it says, hey, you need to get this many more steps to meet your goal for the hour. So that's a huge motivator. Like, all right, let me get up and get the moving, or, you know, those steps. So for sure. So answer me this, you're a dietitian. Are you a good cook?
I'm honestly a terrible cook.
Oh no, I don't believe that.
I'm a terrible cook. I did not grow up in a family that, I come from a long line of undomesticated women. My mom was never a great cook. She tried. I try.
Yeah.
My husband is an amazing cook.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
He can kind of pick up the slack where I have with that.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I think a lot of times we struggle with the thing that we know how to do, you know?
Yeah.
But cooking has never been it's not even anything I enjoy, which is strange. You would think that I would.
Well, what's your go-to meal to cook? Like if you had to cook one thing for your family, what would be that thing?
I like to do, a lot of times I'll do things I can do in the Instapot or the crock pot. Gotcha. There's a really easy taco soup that my family probably is so tired of. So it's just got, you know, like, cause I, it's something very easy that I can do as a busy mom on the go. Like mm-hmm. I can just throw things together and like throw some chicken in there, throw some veggies in there and let it simmer and then just add some sides and you're good to go.
That's awesome. So
that's really hard for us as working adults too, is trying to think of what we can do in the midst of all of this other stuff that we have going on.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. My wife, she's a trooper. She, We have set days though, like Taco Tuesday, of course. Like Monday's typically sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wednesday we switch it up. And then Friday we usually eat out. So, yeah. But my wife is good about, you know, planning that stuff out. So,
yeah. And that's awesome if she has that like mental capacity as well as being a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
That really does take a lot of time and effort to do.
Yeah.
So I would applaud that. One of the big things with trying to eat healthier as a whole and just be healthier is cooking more at home.
Yeah.
I think that like the majority of people that eat out have, it's shown that they have much higher intake of calories, fats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, even if you are getting things like salad, it's going to be loaded with things
mm-hmm.
as you're eating it out and they want it to taste good.
Yep. Yep. So speaking of bad food, what's your favorite cheat meal?
Well, first, I don't like to say cheat meal.
Okay, excuse me.
Remember, everything can fit. It can all fit. But I would say I love Mexican food.
Mm-hmm.
I love to go to a Mexican restaurant and have chips and queso. I love queso. And a margarita. I love that. And I think that's kind of too, like, that is something that I do with, say I'm going out to eat for a friend's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
That's more like, it's just that celebratory type meal that I really enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. But again, that can all fit into your long diet, like your long-term plans. So mm-hmm. try not to look at it like you're not cheating on anything when you eat food. You know, mm-hmm. like it can still fit. It's not morally wrong to enjoy that type of food.
Just portion control.
Yeah. Yeah. And balancing it out. You know, yep. I mean, if you're going to eat out one night and it's going to be a really heavy meal,
mm-hmm.
then you know that like, you know, that you might be feeling a little bit puffy the next day because mm-hmm. the increase of sodium, maybe get some water,
mm-hmm.
flush some of that out, get some activity, take a long walk, you know, things like that.
Gotcha. Tell me you've seen this show. It used to be a staple in my house. We don't watch it as much as we used to, but The 600 Pound Life. Have you seen that show before?
Oh, I used to be obsessed with that show.
I don't understand. I'm a big guy, but 600 pounds is crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think about that show? And I mean, I've seen maybe two success stories on it, but for the most part, it's typically like, all right, they're just fat and they're going to die pretty soon. And there was a movie called with Brendan Fraser. He was huge.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of like that kind of same theme, 600 pound life. What do you think leads to that? Is it more mental? Is it just some, I know a lot of trauma happens and that leads to people like, you know, just saying, screw it all. I'm just going to eat. Mm-hmm. Like the people like the show is so funny. It's like the same script every episode. They go to see Dr. Now, you know, on the way there, they stop at the drive-thru, they order like six value meals and they can't barely fit in the van. And they got one lady was in the back of the van, like cargo is like, but they're mm-hmm. still stopping at Wendy's to get, you know, let me get four number threes. And Dr. Now is like 300 pounds. And like, I don't understand how he's so big. And talking to the 600 pounds, I mean, he's small compared to them, but Dr. Nat really needs to take some of his own advice, if you ask me. But how do you think, you know, what do you think leads to that kind of situation?
I honestly feel like, and you'll see in that show, every single one of those people are, they have a mental health disorder. Mm-hmm. And anything, like when it gets that extreme to where it is a compulsion, like if you think hoarding or alcoholism or, mm-hmm. you know, gambling, it is an escape. And it is, you're looking for something to treat an internal trauma that you have not addressed. Mm-hmm. And eating is just that for them. So instead of, some of us might go do something else, some yeah. of us might gamble it away, or, you yeah. know, something unhealthy. It's a vice. It's a dopamine hit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is what they're looking for. And it just gets out of control. I mean, but even if I'm also a big Hoarders fan, I love watching that show. It's the same concept.
True.
It is something that they never intended to get to where it was, but they had something happened to them that was not addressed for, yeah. and for years it went not addressed. And that is kind of how they make themselves feel better. I mean, yeah. you know, like sometimes when you're not feeling good, you're like, oh, I want my favorite food.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I want to order this Amazon sweater or whatever. And that's how they get there. A lot of us get to a point where we're like, okay, let's get our life together. This is crazy. It's getting out of hand. My pants yeah. don't fit.
Yeah.
You know, my house is yeah. getting messy. But if you have a mental health diagnosis or background and you have trauma, you're not going to be able to, if you're depressed, et cetera, you're not going to be able to make those changes for yourself, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
They don't see the value in themselves either.
Yeah.
And they yeah. might not have the support. And a lot of times in that show, people are like literally feeding that addiction.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
most of the time they're bed bound and they have like one person in the house that's like bringing them the food, and then they yell at them. Like you can't yell at them while you're handing them a large pizza to eat by themselves. And, you know, kind of contradictory, but anyways.
Yeah, for sure. That quality of life. I mean, can you even imagine at that point?
And not being able to walk, and like, you know, that show definitely motivates me to get my butt up and get active, because I don't yeah. want to be the yeah. bed bound and like in my 40s, you know, can't even get out of bed, and it's crazy.
But, well, and I mean, that brings up a good point too. Like when you get to a certain point and your knees hurt when you exercise, or, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, that's going to prevent you from doing those things. And it's going to lead to, you know, gaining yeah. even more weight. So yeah. it is important. Like, first of all, I'm a big mental health advocate. So addressing those traumas, therapy, mm-hmm. et cetera. Mm-hmm. But when you are to the point where it is hard to exercise, finding something like just low impact, walking, swimming, mm-hmm. you know, riding a bike, something like that can kind of get you started, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
You don't have to go all crazy CrossFit when you're like, you know, have a lot of extra weight, because that might be hard for you to do at that yeah. point. And that yeah. might be something you would enjoy eventually, but start out slow, doing something that is not going to make you just like hurt all the time.
Yeah. We talked about it sort of already, but advice for new parents, you know, maybe they're done with the breastfeeding and the formula stuff. Now they're on to like the solid foods. Like what do you recommend? To start like a healthy, like nice, you know, balanced situation for the baby.
Yes. So I would recommend whatever you're eating. Like if you sit down, you said your wife's a nurse, she's making some kind of meat, a couple vegetable sides, maybe a piece of bread or something in there. Whatever you're eating, just cut it up, very, mm-hmm. very small pieces. Expose them to whatever you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're having like just something that doesn't have a lot of sides, also adding in, when I was a new parent, I love to get those little cups of vegetables. They're in little plastic cups.
Yep, yep.
Little plastic cups of green peas, and I would put those in a bowl and heat them up, and I would make sure my kids always had a fruit and a vegetable alongside what they were eating, mm-hmm. just to expose them to that. So now, like, my boys are so picky, but they love vegetables. It's very strange. They love lima beans. They love green peas.
Really?
And I can't even get them to eat, like, you know, a hamburger. But at a very young age, we exposed them to that. I always made sure they had that. So I would just continue to offer them what you're having. Sitting down at meals, it's very hard to do that. But as a family, if you can do that, and always trying to offer those, like, fruits and veggies alongside your main item, that's my main advice. But yep. I mean, don't be really hard on yourself. There are times when, as a new parent, you're just trying to get by, and that's fine. They're going to be okay. They're going to eat French fries off the floor of your car.
They'll be fine. Yep. All right. I think that's all I got for you this time. I need to get you back, though. We can address this dad bod situation. That's going to be the next time that we talk about.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Get rid of this dad bod narrative. Get that out of here. All right. Well, I appreciate your time so much. Yeah, I appreciate you. Tell people how they can reach you. What's the company you work for? If you want to give that out, you don't have to if you don't want to.
Yeah, well, and I run all of our marketing on Facebook. So I work for K-12. It's K-12. K-12 Culinary Connection.
Okay.
So you can see, if you look at our Facebook page, I try to post every day the meals that our like cafeteria ladies are making in all the schools across the state. So it's actually pretty cool to see what kids now are eating. You know,
yeah,
I mean, they're still eating corn dogs sometimes, but sometimes they're eating a ramen bar or
that's awesome.
You know, like, some amazing options.
That can inspire some meal plans too out here. So
yeah,
I like that. All right. Well, thanks again. I appreciate you, and have a good one.
You too. Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.